For those of us who are more in their 50s, there was a guy named Larnell Harris, and he sang like a bird. He was an amazing singer. And I remember in the 80s and 90s when I'd be in my car in my 81 Accord, I'm not bragging, but it was pretty nice, kind of a red velvet seat cover thing going on there, stick shift. And I remember listening to a cassette by Larnell Harris, and there was a song that he would sing, "I miss my time with you, those moments together. I want to be with you each day, and it hurts me when you say you're too busy." And I'd be listening, I'd go, "Yeah, Lord, I need to spend more time with the Lord. I need time with him." And then he would sing a song that would say, "Lord, I want to become so much less that you become greater still." And I would go, "Yeah, Lord, I want to know you more. I want you to be greater in my life." And when I think about those songs, they encouraged me to want to know the Lord in a greater way. And my hope for this series that we're getting ready to do is that you're going to come into a place where you go, "Oh man, I get an opportunity to make more of the Lord and grow in my love relationship with him." So Eugene Peterson said this. He said, "The Christian life is a lot less about leadership and it's more about followership," which isn't really a word, but I'll take it, all right? So followership, when you think about that, we're all under the great shepherd of Jesus. We get to know him and we learn to follow him and walk with him. And so our prayer is that after this series that you're gonna take ground in what it means to practice the spiritual disciplines. See, in our flesh, if you're like me, none of us want to become less, we wanna become greater. We want our name to be great. We want life to be about us. If you're like me, that's true for me. And I have to remember that the only thing that is going to make me be about others and about bringing glory to the Lord is that the Spirit is reigning in me. And so it starts certainly from a place of you putting your trust in Jesus, who died on the cross for your sins, who rose again that you might have life, and you get a chance to practice what are called the spiritual disciplines, which, by the way, Jesus did himself. The Son of God, God became flesh and dwelt among us. He practiced a lot of the disciplines that we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. And so I want you to think about where in Philippians 2, where it says to do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, but with humility consider others as more important than yourself. Have the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. And the only way that I'm going to be about others is if I put myself in the way of the Spirit. And I practice these disciplines. Now, I want you to hear me clearly. The disciplines don't save us. I want you to hear that we are starting with a position of, if we understand the gift of God's grace and we've accepted what Jesus has done on the cross for us, we start there. And your position in Christ, which Paul talks about all the time, when we're in Christ, that position allows us to practice these things, which helps us to know him more. Okay, so here's my question for you I want you to think about. Is your exterior life outpacing your interior life? I want you to think about it. Here's what I mean by that. Maybe you look like you have it all together on the outside, and don't we want to look like that? That's the trap and the trick of social media. We always put our best, these are the great pictures, everybody's doing great, you know, and everything's, this vacation was awesome. They didn't see the fight that you had with somebody right before then. And so we want to put our best foot forward, but the reality is sometimes what looks on the exterior, maybe we're really busy and we're cranking through life, and we are not practicing an inward renewal. Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians 4. He said, "So we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." And so here's what I want to ask you, and this is where I really want you to reflect tonight with your group that we're going to meet with, is how are we doing? Is our outward life, is the outward appearance, are we cranking through life? But the reality is we're not renewing ourselves, our inward self, day by day. So I want you to think about that as you think about your outward life outpacing your interior life. Here's some ways I know that my outward life is outpacing my inner life, and I'll just let you a little bit into my world. So What I have seen from journaling, which is a good discipline to journal and reflect on your walk with the Lord or life, is I'll journal and I see a pattern that happens over and over. And one of them is I can be, when I'm not walking in the Spirit, when I am not feeding the Spirit, you know, when I'm sowing to the Spirit, as the Word says, practicing these things we're going to talk about, I see my flesh winning out. And one way that that happens for me is I have a critical spirit of others. I don't know if anybody else can relate to that, but I can be very critical of others. And I go, man, I start to figure out what their motives are and why they're doing that. And I just see it start to bubble up in me. Instead of me being concerned about what God needs to do in my life, I start being worried about what other people are doing. And I love to point the finger at them. And you know, another thing that happens is I find myself not being for them or for others. You guys seen that in your life at times? It's like I want to be for them, but the reality is I'm so full of myself that I'm not. And I have to go, Lord, would you change that about me? Another one is just having a quick temper. And I don't know if anybody else struggles with being irritable or having a quick temper. I am a guy who can struggle with that. This last weekend, we had the extended weekend. You think, well, it's going to be a weekend of fun. We're going to rest and all this. Well, I started Friday with the world's largest cup of coffee. It was amazing. I have these mugs at our house that are huge. And I'm sitting there, and I'm in my 2 Corinthians. I've got my journal Bible that I'm looking at. And I go over to reach for my coffee like the great stud that I am, and I hit that coffee cup and sent it down on our stained concrete in our house, and it went everywhere. And it was under the baseboards. It saturated my 2 Corinthians journal Bible now that has a lovely coffee stain and smell to it. And I just can remember I was so ticked off about that. And the way it, and I was like, this is not a big deal. We broke a mug, we spilled some coffee. But the reality is I watched my reaction. I thought, man, why am I so fired up about spilled coffee? And then to move on from there, I can remember I was trying to help my wife. I was cooking chicken breasts in our new air fryer, not bragging, but we have one. And I was cooking these chicken breasts, and I remember they come in that lovely styrofoam tray. You guys know what that is. And I'd finished cooking them, and I thought, well, I'll just throw this away. I want to take care, clean up my mess. And when I grabbed it, I didn't realize there was a lovely reservoir of chicken juice in there, which is so delicious. And I remember taking that tray, and I spilt it just down my leg on my shoes. These are the shoes I'm wearing. They're fine now. And I just remember going, oh, awesome, chicken juice on my shoes. And it was amazing how I wanted to respond to silly things that I go, man, this is not a big deal. But when I'm in my flesh, and I remember that day just going, man, I need time with the Lord. If I'm reacting to spilt chicken juice or spilt coffee or whatever else, a lot of spills going on in my house, I need to spend time with the Lord, that those things are really as small as they are. And so I don't know if that's a sign for you too. I'll give you one other story. A couple of weeks ago, I was getting ready to lead worship for our gather weekend for our leaders, and I have not restrung my guitar in a long time. And so you guys that are, you know, Mark Jones, where's Mark? Where's Mark? Mark is a great guitarist. He comes over, and I try to hint around like, hey, you want to help me restring this? Yeah, you can do it. I'll bring you some strings. Like, great. So I remember stringing this guitar, and I am putting the strings on, and I break the same string, you know, I'm doing, bing, and it goes, and then I'm doing it, and I found another one in my bag, same string, crank it up, breaks again, broke 3 straight strings. And by that time, I'm about to lose it, okay? And so I remember I took my pick, this is the mature guy that I am, and I kind of just threw it down. And if you're gonna throw something, a guitar pick is not the choice. You need like a really gritty, overripe watermelon or a medicine ball or something handy. And I threw this pick, and it was like you throw your arm. I was like, and it went like that. And there was nothing. And it didn't make me feel better, but I thought it was going to. And so you just kind of take note of those things. And here's Why I tell you that is because when I see that, I'm often reminded of, okay, Lord, what's going on in my heart? What's going on in my inward self that would make me so fired up about breaking a guitar string? The third thing that I've noticed in me, and I want you to be thinking about what yours are. Okay, but the third one is a need for strokes, a need for people to encourage me, a need that's instead of finding my worth in Christ and go, here's who I am in Christ, I look for others to make me feel validated or make me feel like I'm worth something. And the Lord's going, no, Bron, you are my son. You've been adopted. I have brought you from darkness to light. I've made you new. Who I am in Christ should be enough. And when it's not, is when I'm looking for everybody else to kind of affirm me. And I just go, okay, that's another sign that maybe I need to be reminded of the truth of God's word. Maybe I just need time to spend with him. And so I want you to think about what those are. Here's the definition of spiritual disciplines, okay? These are behaviors that augment our spiritual growth and enable us to grow to spiritual maturity. These are the way that you, or this is how you put yourself in the way of the Spirit. And so the ones we're going to talk about over the next week, we're going to talk about prayer next week. We're going to talk about solitude and Sabbath. Okay, rest. We're going to talk about that on the third week. And then the fourth week, we're going to talk about God's word. And some of you guys, here's my hope for this series, that you're going to hear, and some of you are going to go, I need to take a step in the right direction. Some of you guys go, if I'm really honest, I'm kind of at zero. I don't even know what the disciplines are. And that's okay. I'm so glad you're here. We can't wait to talk about them with you. Some of you may be going, nah, man, I know what the disciplines are. I've practiced them in the past, but the reality is I've gotten so busy and so full of a busy life that I have forgotten how sweet it is to sit with the Lord. And I know when I do, when I practice these, that his Spirit changes me. And so I hope that you'll take a step towards that. Here's another example I want to give you. When you're walking in the Spirit, okay, this is the illustration I want to use. When you're walking, when the Spirit, by the way, those of us who put our trust in Christ, the word says the Spirit indwells us. So when we put our trust in the Spirit is in us, and I think it's a case where you don't need more of the Spirit needs more of you. And so you're walking with him, and what you'll see is when you're really doing that, you will be more like a thermostat than a thermometer, okay? A thermostat does what? Sets the temperature of the room. But when I'm in my flesh, when I'm not practicing these like I should, when I'm not walking with the Lord intimately and sowing to the Spirit, I tend to be a thermometer. Like if somebody's in a bad mood in the room, then I am too. And if they're ticked off, well, I'm going to be ticked off right back at them. Instead of letting the Spirit lead and the fruit of the Spirit, which we know is peace, patience, joy, kindness, all the things that I was talking about earlier, isn't it amazing that the fruit of the Spirit is available to us because we have the Spirit in us? So I want you to think about what those things are for you, and are you someone who is more of a thermometer right now because you can't be a thermostat because the Spirit's not reigning. You know, funny little side note, I'm also the cheapest guy. Some of you have heard me teach before, is I'm always turning up the thermostat. That's another thing I'm doing in the summer, okay? So here's what my hope is for this message tonight, is that you would come away from here going, okay, I understand why we practice the disciplines, that I understand a common trap from the disciplines, and that you would understand what our hope is for you these next 4 or 5 weeks. The first thing I want to read to you, though, before we go there, is a quote from Richard Foster, who wrote a book called Celebration of the Discipline. This would be a great book I would commend it to you. But he says this, a farmer is helpless to grow grain. All he can do is provide the right conditions for growing of grain. He cultivates the ground. He plants the seeds. He waters the plants. And then the natural force of the earth take over and up comes the grain. This is the way it is with the spiritual disciplines. They are a way of sowing to the Spirit. By themselves, the spiritual disciplines can do nothing. They can only get us to a place where something can be done. So remember this, the spiritual disciplines are not the end, they are a means to the end. Okay, they don't save you. I want to make sure you hear that. Remember what we talked about. You start from position of being saved by grace through faith, but then you practice them to know the Lord more. And so here's what I want to ask you. Are we people, are you and I, people who are expecting fruit, but the reality is we aren't cultivating the soil of our hearts? We never plant seed. We never water. Can you imagine a farmer doing that? He plants, he throws his seed out there, and then he goes, you know what, I think I'm going to go chill for a while in the house for about a year. I'll come back out and just see what happens. You can imagine, we'd be covered in weeds. There would be no fruit. There would be nothing coming up. And he'd go, golly, I can't. And then what if he just kept doing the same thing? Right? And he would expect something different to happen. But the reality is, nothing different's going to happen. And what I want to encourage us with is, what is that soil that you need to till? What is that watering that you need to do? What is that planting that you need to do? And that's what the scripture talks about when it says sowing to the Spirit. So why do we do the disciplines? Let's start there. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Okay, it says this. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Okay, when I read that, I'm reminded, for those of you who are workout people, which I missed leg day and chest day and arm day. I missed all the days. But for those of you who are, you understand that verse. You go, yeah, there's some value there. It gives you a nod. Okay, my sons make fun of me. They call me Mr. Elliptical because I'm over there going, that's good, I'm getting in shape. And they actually work out. And so I just reminded that that's of some value, but what it says is training for godliness, practicing disciplines, it says is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So why do we practice the disciplines? We do it for godliness, to be more like Christ, so that others might see Christ in us and want to know him. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I would tell you of why we do the disciplines is to grow in our love for Jesus. And I don't know about you, but when I read the scripture and it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. And what the problem is, I think we have so many other things that we are tasting in this world, so many other things that we're trying to find life in that we hope will satisfy us. And the Lord's going, taste of me, drink of me. What did Jesus refer to himself as? For those of you who are thirsty, I'm living water. For those of you who are hungry, I'm the bread of life. For those of you who are heavy laden, I'm rest. And I think that's what he wants for us. And he's going, if you'll sit with me, if you'll practice some of these things that my very son did, it will change the game for you. And it'll change the way you view it. And so you know who was really great at the disciplines? The Pharisees. They were great at the disciplines, but the reason they did the disciplines was to impress others or to hold a position of power or influence. And the reason we should do the disciplines is to become less, not to become greater. And that's the paradox of following Christ, right? He must become greater. And Jesus showed us that by his own life when in the rest of that Philippians 2 that I mentioned earlier, when he became obedient even unto death and became man and dwelt among us. So you see that is why. So the purpose of godliness is why we practice the disciplines. And secondly, to grow in our love for Jesus. The second thing I want to talk to you about tonight is the traps for the disciplines. And I know this can be a trap because I've seen it in my own life. We could be all about the practices of the disciplines, but not really want to know the Savior. And let's look at Matthew 6. This is where Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, famous sermon from him, and he addresses some disciplines in there. And I just want us to take note of what he says. And he says the same thing about all three of these. And I get this. I get why he's challenging, but let's just look at 6:2-4 for a minute. He says, Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Hey, I would give because it honors Christ. It's a response to the love that he's given me, and I want to give to others. I want to become less, and I want him to become greater. And so I would even give away money to others to bless them. Then here's another one. Look at praying. In verse 5, it says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, and that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So this discipline of prayer is an amazing opportunity for us to know the Lord and to honor him and say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to have a relationship with you. And then he talks about fasting in verse 16. And notice that what's consistent here. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces and their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. And when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I can relate to all these. When it comes to giving, I want to be the guy with the big check, you know, at the fundraisers going, look at this, I'm writing you a check. And then I'm tempted when I pray. Do any of y'all think about when you're praying with others? Do you get self-conscious and go, well, I think I'm going to pray here in the group here. I'm going to press them with some. It's pretty good stuff here, you know, lots of Father Gods and all that kind of stuff. So you start thinking about what others think. And what he kept saying in all this is don't do it for others. Do it to honor the Lord because of your relationship with him. It's a discipline that you look to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. What an opportunity. And so the trap that I want to warn you about is that we would start doing disciplines to impress others or tell them all the stuff we've learned. And that doesn't mean you shouldn't share the scripture or what God's telling you, but you ought to just go, Lord, is this about me or is this about you? And you know what? When I practice the disciplines, when I'm sitting with the Lord, when I spend time with him, all of a sudden it begins to be about him. And when I don't, here's what I would tell you. I don't think we're on autopilot. Okay, I don't think we're like moving towards the Lord. I think we're moving away when we're not moving to. If we don't sow the Spirit, I think we will naturally sow to our flesh. And so I want to encourage you, there's a great opportunity for all of us to take a step in the right direction with that. Here's a quote from John Ortberg in a book that's called The Life You've Always Wanted. God's primary assessment of our lives is not going to be measured by the number of journal entries. Darn it. The real issue is what kind of people we are becoming. Practices such as reading scripture and praying are important, not because they prove how spiritual we are, but because God can use them to lead us into life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you have life and have it abundantly. And I think this is part of it. You walking with Jesus, practicing things, putting yourself in the way of the Spirit. So I want to encourage you that way. It's not to impress others. Here's our hope for this series, that the third thing I want you to hear tonight is that you would be motivated to practice disciplines. Like we said, that you would take a step. If y'all remember the movie, What About Bob? Again, this may be our Larnell Harris crowd. This is an old movie. What About Bob? There's a great line there. He takes baby steps. He goes, baby steps to the door, baby steps to the, and because he had some issues, right? Well, the reality is what I hope for us in the spiritual distance, we take steps. We go, Lord, if you're at zero, you go, man, I never spend time in the Word. I couldn't tell you a verse. I'm the guy that if we're talking about the Bible and you go, oh, we're going to flip over to Matthew. I'm going, I'm looking at the front to see where it is. It's okay. what I would tell you is that I want you to think about, maybe this week you would say, I'm gonna spend a little more time in God's word. I'm gonna take one verse a day and I'm gonna meditate on it. The one I've been meditating on today is from 1 Timothy, that the aim of our instruction is love. And it comes from a pure faith and a good, sincere faith, good conscience, a pure heart. And I've been thinking and meditating on that and repeating that and going, Lord, I'm gonna love the people gathered tonight because you've loved me and I wanna love them. And it's been good for me to meditate on that and transform. Romans 12 says that when we're in his word, it transforms our mind so that we won't be conformed to the ways of the world. That's what it does. So there'd be a step that you would take towards that. And there's an old story. You remember the story of Zacchaeus, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a, and a, oh gosh, I didn't know that's what it was. What's the last line? For the Lord he wanted to see. That makes a ton more sense. That follows the scripture. Amazing. I had a good joke about that. Okay, anyway. Okay, so Luke 19:2. Let's look at that for just a second. I want you to think about what was going on with Zacchaeus here. 19:2, it says this. And there was a man named Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And when you think about the tax collector in the scripture, they were not the most popular fellows, were they? They were despised. They would cheat people out of money. They were someone that people were like, get away from me, Mr. Tax Collector, I know what you're about. But look what happens in verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small of stature. He was a wee little man. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Here's what I want you to think about is there was a discipline that Zacchaeus had to do. He had to run ahead and climb the tree so that he might see Jesus. And my question for you is, what's going to be your run ahead, climb the tree, so that you can really see who Jesus is? And if you'll put yourself in that position, those of you who know Christ, if you'll say, Lord, I just want to know you more, just taking some time to be still before him, to reflect on who he is. And so I want you to journal. If you do journal, man, you go, journal, what's that? Write down some thoughts and just say, man, Lord, what would you have me do this week just so I can see you more clearly? All right? And so I want you to think about what that would be for you. Zacchaeus, if you think about for him, what it said, the crowd was blocking him. Okay, he couldn't see because of the crowd. And I want you to think about what's keeping you from running ahead and climbing the tree. What's keeping you from practicing the disciplines? And let's just be honest with the Lord. And let's just be honest, man, it could be just, I'm just lazy. I don't wanna do it. If you're honest, you might say, man, I'm so busy with stuff. I'm so preoccupied with everything in this world that I don't have time to spend time with you. And that's part of the problem. That you're kind of, it's your own destiny there, right? It's self-fulfilled right there. That you're caught up in all this stuff and you go, I can't figure out why I keep going back to the same things. And so what would be for you the running ahead or the climbing the tree? I'll tell you a story about a guy named Stacy, and it was a guy named Stacy. I know you're going, Stacy. And that was his name. Stacy was a guy that was leading with me in student ministry. And when I first started in student ministry here, those of you who don't know, I was the student pastor here for 17 years and then came to Gather a few years ago. And I was working with Stacy. I remember Stacy was not leading with us at the time. We went and played golf, and I was hanging out with him. I go, man, this guy's funny. He's fun. He would be amazing with students. And so I remember looking at Stacy, and I said, Stacy, would you ever consider coming over and being a small group leader for us? You'd be amazing. And I'm, you know, telling him all about, hey, you know, we, our leaders stay with students for a number of years, and you could have an influence on them, and man, it'd be amazing. And I remember Stacy looking at me, and he goes, you know, I really just don't want to. And I was like, okay. And I remember him saying to me, because I really don't want to. And he goes, if I'm really honest with you, I love to go home after work and sit on the couch, watch my shows, veg for a while, and I'm doing great. And I remember looking at Stacy and I said, Stacy, man, I said, I think you're missing out. I think you're missing out on an opportunity for the Lord to use you. I think he's given you great gifts. I think he wants to, and here's the great thing, Stacy, when you go and lead others, you have to be filled up. If you're gonna teach others God's word, you gotta be in the word, which is a discipline, okay? And so you'll practice those things because of your position in Christ, you'll practice these disciplines and then you'll be able to minister to others. Wouldn't that be amazing? And he was like, I kinda like sitting on the couch again. So about a month later, Stacy comes back and he says, hey, I think I do wanna lead. And what happened, fast forward, Stacy led for 7 years with a group of sixth graders all the way through 12th grade. He influenced them greatly. Those guys, he and another guy named Keith led this group for many, many years. And now Stacy is an elder at a church in Waco that a guy named JP runs or leads. And I was like, he got off the couch. And here's my question for you. This is what I want you to think about. What's going to be the get off the couch for you over these next weeks? What are you going to start to practice that would bear fruit, right? That you go, oh man, when I sit with the Lord more, I just notice I think about others more. When I'm worshiping him, when I spend time listening to music that's edifying the Lord and it allows the Spirit to have a greater reign in my life. I think the Spirit wants to reign in your life, to be filled with the Spirit, to be controlled by the Spirit, to be reined in by the Spirit. The question is, will we sit with him? Will we do anything? Will we run ahead? Will we climb the tree? Will we get off the couch and see how the Lord wants to work? The definition of insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And for some of us, we need to go, hey, if I'm just honest, I don't know what it looks like to walk with Jesus. And these disciplines that we're going to talk about, prayer, in God's word, solitude. Some of you, I fear. You might be afraid to sit with the Lord because you're afraid of what he might convict you about. You're afraid he might really, you're going, if I stop and really ask the Lord, hey, what do you want to do in my life? Here's what I would tell you. The Lord is good and he wants good things for you. You can trust him. You can trust the Spirit's leading. You don't have to be fearful of it. He wants to lead you to life. And disciplines bring, you know what they bring? Freedom. That's what they bring. Because it's more the Spirit. Where the Spirit is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Remember the Shane and Shane song? Anyway, but that is an amazing opportunity for us. So my prayer for you, and as we talk about this tonight in our groups, let's just be honest with each other, man. We're all in the running the race together. We all have, God's at work in all of our lives. We all have areas to grow in. So let's spur each other on. Let's pray for each other. Let's see what the Lord does. And maybe you're going to share next week, you know what? I got off the couch and I spent a little more time in God's word. And here's what happened. I actually cared about others. And I had a peace that Jesus said only he can give. The peace that the world gives is different than the peace that Jesus gives. So I want to pray for you guys, and let's pray that God would use each other tonight and his Spirit to encourage us and spur us on in the disciplines. Let me pray. Father, thank you for these friends. You knew that they would be here tonight, and some of them right now are convicted by your Spirit that, man, they need to get off the couch. And not need to in a way where to earn your love, but they get to. Your word tells us to not live as unwise, but live as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, for the days are evil. And sitting with you and spending time with you and praying and practicing the very things that you did, Jesus, when you used to go away from the crowds and sit with the Father, we have that opportunity. And so would you give us the strength and the courage and the willingness to want to know you more this week. The more we know you, the more we know we need to know you more. And we're so thankful. Bless our times now as we share with each other, encourage each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can head to your groups, okay? Most all groups, only group 10 is straight across the hall. All the other groups are on the second floor, and they'll show you where to go upstairs.